The map fades into a view of the red Cherokee. The rear of the SUV displays a Massachusetts license plate. Our view moves around the passenger side of the vehicle, where sun beams onto a large suitcase sitting in the rear section. Another bag rests in the back seat. In the front seats, an attractive woman with short auburn hair sleeps in the passenger side. Beside her, a handsome, rugged man drives. Staring ahead at the road, he adjusts his sunglasses, then absent-mindedly rubs his knuckles against his broad jaw. His shaggy brown hair sweeps back over his high forehead and falls just a few inches below his ears. The man picks up a styrofoam takeout cup, shakes it, then frowns. On his left hand, a wedding band gleams in the daylight. Peering over his shoulder, he grabs a large thermos from the back seat. Farther up the road, a mud-covered black pickup truck pulls into his lane. The man returns his gaze forward and swerves around the truck. In the truck, a man in a cowboy hat waves. In the Jeep, the man faces the woman, now awake.
Man, did you see that? I mean, he pulled right out in front of me.
Took my eyes off the road for a second, but I mean, come on.
Maybe it's time we take a little break.
Yeah. Whatever the next chance we get.
Now, outside a mini-mart, the brown-haired man exits with a quart of oil. He walks to the Cherokee, which sits at a gas pump with its hood up. At the service island beside Jeff's, a big truck with a large metal tank pulls away, revealing the mud-covered black pickup sitting at the next gas pump. Beside the truck, the mustached man in the cowboy hat eyes him. His shoulder-length hair rests atop his black button-up shirt, which tucks under a belt decorated with a large silver buckle. The cowboy approaches the brown-haired man, who pours oil into his engine.
Nice car.
Thanks.
You got your hair? CD?
He walks around the SUV.
Leather?
Swaggering under the gas hose, the cowboy steps toward the vehicle's owner.
Looks to me like you sprung for the whole nine yards.
Yeah, guess so. But suppose that rig of yours there is what you really need out here, huh?
Why would you want a piece of tin like that when you got a ride like this?
A tubby bearded man peers out from the cowboy's pickup. The brown-haired Jeep owner shuts the hood.
What a man needs out here is a CB radio.
Yeah, is that right?
Of course, if you use a CB, you gotta have a handle. I'm thinking for you, cheese for brains. Tell me something, do you even care that you damn near killed us back there, boy?
I didn't really even see you. I mean, you kind of pulled out in front of me, though.
Like hell I did. I saw what happened.
Let's just forget this, okay? I mean, I'm sorry it ever happened, but I don't want any trouble.
No, I bet you don't.
He narrows his eyes, then walks off, passing the auburn-haired woman.
Howdy, ma'am. Ought to be more careful who you ride with.
The woman approaches the Cherokee.
What is that all about?
Nothing. Guy in the truck. I tried to hit him.
He shakes his head, then looks at the cowboy. They exchange a serious glance.
Come on, let's go.
Want me to drive?
No, let's later. Just get in.
She walks to the passenger side.
How about if I promise not to sideswipe anyone?
Just get in.
I'm kidding.
She gets in and they pull away. At the mini-mart, the cowboy steps out with a six-pack under his arm. Pausing outside the doorway, he pops a snack into his mouth and crumples up its wrapper as he watches the Cherokee drive off. It passes the black pickup. In the Cherokee, the brown-haired man eyes his rearview mirror, then glances over his left shoulder.
Getting ready for the Grand Prix?
She looks at the speedometer. Its needle moves past 85.
What'd you get?
Oh, junk food fiesta. Let's see. Snowballs. Yoo-hoo and moon pies. They still make this stuff?
Kidding, it's probably gourmet cuisine around here.
From above, we see the SUV traveling along the desolate highway. Inside, the woman reads a package of small powdered donuts.
This is crazy. Look at this. It says, if you win this mailing contest, you can choose between $90,000 or 90,000 donuts.
He smiles at her. A wedding band gleams on her ring finger.
What would you do with 90,000 donuts?
I don't know. Sell them for 30 cents each and pay off this car.
No kidding. 90,000 donuts. That it solves some problems.
The high beam indicator light turns on, followed by the check gauge, cruise, and check engine lights.
What the hell?
What did you do?
Nothing.
He pumps the brake. The brake, airbag, and seatbelt lights go on.
Hang on, I can't steer.
From up ahead on the road, we see the car swerve toward the embankment. It straightens out, then putters to a stop. The brown-haired man gets out and pops the hood. As he walks to the front of the SUV, his wife looks over her shoulder at the empty road, then gets out. The wind rustles her hair as she joins him at the front of the car. He opens the hood and gazes at the engine. His wife drums her fingers on the SUV and glances around. Walking to the passenger side, the man opens the door and pulls out a cell phone from the glove compartment. He steps back to the engine.
Well, so much for taking the scenic route.
They stare under the hood, then she points.
Well, looks like the baffle gasket's burned out.
What?
Yeah, it's connected to the connecting rod.
Oh, God. Shut up. Oh, man, can you believe this?
This could be the worst decision we've ever made.
What are you doing?
No, just listen. I mean, we're changing jobs,
yeah.
Right? Our finances are pretty well fried.
Yeah.
And we are out in the middle of nowhere, so, yeah, I'd say this is the worst.
Get out of here. You're bugging me.
He pushes her away.
Okay, sweetie. Good luck, because I'm going to California.
Gazing down the road, she holds up her thumbs.
Jeff?
And the donuts.
No. There's a car.
The black pickup speeds toward them.
Nice.
The truck veers into the opposite lane and flies past them. The stranded couple watches the vehicle speed off down the winding road.
Idiots.
Jeff turns away and looks under the hood again. His wife stands with her arms folded, keeping her curious gaze on the black truck. She pivots slightly, then pauses. The truck makes a U-turn and stops on the road.
Jeff?
Her husband looks up from the engine. They both stare, open-mouthed, at the dirty truck, which sits a mile away, facing them. Jeff steps away from their SUV and stands beside his wife.
What the hell is...
What's he doing?
I don't know.
The truck stays put. Jeff protectively steps in front of his wife, and they stare at the truck.
This isn't good.
Behind their car, a semi-truck with a black cab drives up. Jeff moves toward it and holds up his hands.
Hey! Oh!
As the semi stops, the black pickup turns around and takes off. Jeff glances back, then faces the semi. In its cab, a middle-aged man wearing a baseball cap and sunglasses steps out onto the road. Smiling, he removes his glasses and approaches the Cherokee.
Hi. Folks, all right?
Fine.
Yeah.
Our car broke down.
Yeah, saw that. You want me to give you a hand pushing off the road?
Thanks for the help. Honey, you want to steer?
His wife sits behind the wheel as the trucker helps Jeff push the car to the shoulder.
Massachusetts plates. You folks on vacation?
No. We're moving.
Oh, yeah? Whereabouts?
San Diego.
Listen, you think we could use your CB? Radio a tow truck to help us?
I wish I could, mister, but I blew a fuse on that thing this morning. I'm waiting until I get down to the truck stop on I-40 to get it fixed.
How far is that?
About 60 miles.
The trucker looks under the hood.
Well, just driving along and she quit on me.
Oh, yeah. Well, belts, battery's working. You know, it used to be you'd give these things a kick and a holler and they'd start right up. Now they got computers and chips.
It is a new car.
You know, that could be it. You've been riding this thing pretty hard because they tend to overheat when they're new.
Jeff looks at his wife, who lifts her eyebrows and smiles.
Well, yeah, I mean a little, but I
Tell you what. I can give you a ride to Bell's, a little diner about 5 miles down the road. They got a payphone. You call a tow truck, they just come in and haul you out.
You know, that's really nice of you to offer. But I think you got it. I think we'll just let her cool off a little bit. Thanks a lot. We really appreciate it.
I wish you luck getting it started.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
The trucker walks off.
Honey.
I think he's right. I think it's probably just overheated.
Right, but what if it's not? I mean, we don't want to be stuck out here, do we?
No, but I think just give it some time. Let it cool off. We'll be all right.
She looks up at the sun.
Getting pretty toasty out here. You sure you want to blow this ride?
No, but I don't know if I want to leave the car alone either.
Okay, what if I take the ride, call the tow truck, and order a nice cold iced tea?
Mm-hmm. And I stay here with a nice hot car.
Right.
Right.
They kiss, then she gets her purse.
Sure you all right?
No, I'll be fine, honey.
She waves at the semi as it pulls forward. It stops.
Care if I take you up on that ride?
Sure, step on up.
She climbs into the passenger seat.
Sure, your husband doesn't want to come with us? There's plenty of room in the back.
He's going to stay with the car.
They wave to Jeff as the cab pulls away. Standing beside the Cherokee, Jeff smiles and watches the semi leave. A soft breeze rustles his dark brown hair. He waves at the semi, then his chest rises and falls with a deep breath. The semi's trailer grows smaller as it moves further down the road. Later, under a yellow-tinted sky, Jeff sits inside the Cherokee with his sunglasses hanging from his mouth. He checks his watch, then shoots an impatient look down the road. Stepping out of the SUV, Jeff walks over to the front of the car and touches the engine and its parts. He rests his elbow on the Cherokee, glances down at the engine, squints, then leans forward to get a closer look. Slack-jawed, Jeff kneels in front of the SUV and leans his head close to the ground. He looks under the engine and finds several loose wires hanging down.
What the hell?
Jeff lies down and reattaches the ends. Getting back on his feet, he moves to the driver's side and turns the ignition. With a wide grin, Jeff shuts the hood and gets back into the car. Now, the Cherokee drives on a straight stretch of road toward a lone restaurant. Outside, a sign reads, Bell's Diner, Beer and Food. Jeff's SUV pulls off the highway and along the diner's dirt drive. In the large lot, Jeff moves past several cars, trucks, and a camper. His car's wheels kick up a dirt cloud as they roll along. Now, inside the dingy diner, half a dozen customers sit at the counter in small tables. Toward the back of the room, a man stands by a pool table holding a cue. Jeff enters and glances around. Through the Venetian blind slats, pale sunlight filters in, lending a sallow haze to the room. Jeff passes a red-headed woman and approaches the scruffy-looking bartender.
Excuse me. I was supposed to meet my wife here. She's dark-haired, about 5'5". Wearing like a white Benetton sweater.
White what?
A Benetton sweater.
Hey! Your order's up. Look, I'm pretty busy here. People come and go.
Well, this is within the last half hour.
Excuse me.
She might have been with a trucker.
Trucker?
Yeah, a guy wearing a baseball cap, driving a big 18-wheeler.
Doesn't ring a bell.
You sure?
The bartender faces his customers.
Hey, the man here's looking for his wife. Dark hair, got a white button-on sweater. Travel with a guy with a baseball cap. Has anybody here seen him?
They shake their heads. Holding a shot glass, the redhead looks at Jeff.
Looks like she got away from you, cowboy.
Jeff smiles uncomfortably, then looks at the bartender.
You think maybe she could have left a message with one of your other employees? Or...
I don't see how that's possible. You see, I'm the only one that works here.
Well, is there another Bell's Diner?
No, sirree. Definitely not.
Slack-jawed, Jeff glances around the room, then heads back outside. The bartender watches the New Englander leave. Outside, Jeff looks around, then puts his hands on his hips. As the diner's door shuts, he glances over his shoulder, then returns his gaze forward. Our view drifts up, showing Jeff standing alone on the dirt lot. A spiny Joshua tree looms over him in his black shadow, which stretches from his heels. Now, inside Bell's Diner, Jeff re-enters and approaches the bartender.
Excuse me. She and I must have got our signals crossed here. How far is the next town?
About 20 miles.
Would you do me a favor? If my wife comes in, her name's Amy, would you just tell her I was here and tell her to stay put till I get back and not move? Could you do that, please?
Yeah, okay.
Thanks.
Jeff walks out the door. Now on a two-lane road, the Cherokee speeds along the asphalt. Inside, Jeff grips the steering wheel with both hands as he scans the land ahead. On another road off to the left, he spots a semi with a black cab. Jeff turns onto the road and follows the rig. Jagged, wispy clouds slant in the pale blue sky. A dull haze hangs over the flat valley. Jeff catches up to the semi. Traveling a few yards behind it, he presses his horn. The semi keeps steady. Jeff grits his teeth and moves into the opposite lane. Riding alongside the semi, he passes the trailer and pulls up to the cab. Jeff leans toward the passenger seat and looks at the driver. It is the middle-aged trucker with the baseball cap.
Pull over!
The trucker frowns at Jeff.
Pull over!
The man waves dismissively. The trucker points ahead. Jeff sees an RV heading straight for him. Jeff swerves around the RV. He skids onto the shoulder of the opposite lane, then pulls back onto the road alongside the semi. His chest rises and falls with quick, shallow breaths. Jeff pulls in front of the semi, and the Cherokee's brake lights flash. As the SUV comes to a stop, the semi slows behind it. Jeff pulls over to the side of the road, and the semi stops behind him. Both drivers climb out of their vehicles.
Hey, man!
They approach each other.
What the hell are you doing, buddy?
I was trying to get you to pull over. Didn't you see me?
Yeah.
Well, never mind. Listen, I'm looking for my wife.
What?
My wife. Where is she?
How should I know where your wife is?
Jeff removes his sunglasses.
I'm the guy with the Jeep. You gave my wife a ride. You were supposed to drop her off at Bell's Diner.
Not me, sorry.
Wait a minute, I'm sorry. It's like a half an hour ago. You don't remember?
Mister, I have never seen you before in my life.
What are you doing? Amy!
He hurries around to the cab's passenger side door.
Amy, are you in there?
He peers through the open window.
Look, mister, I don't know what you want.
Want my wife back is what I want. And what have you done?
Seeing a car approach, he races into the middle of the highway and waves his arms overhead.
Hey!
The police cruiser pulls over.
Officer! Officer, I need your help here.
His door reads Sheriff.
What's the problem?
I don't know. I think this guy's done something with my wife.
All right, calm down, sir. Tell me what's going on.
I don't know what the hell's going on. Last time I saw her, she was with this guy in his truck.
Officer.
Now he's saying he's never seen her.
Officer,
I don't know what he's talking about.
Don't lie, you ignorant bum!
All right, calm down. All right, now tell me exactly what happened, sir.
Okay, all right. Our car broke down. And he stopped, offered to help, took my wife to a payphone, but she never showed up.
Sir, what do you have to say about this?
Officer, I don't know. I'm driving along. This fellow runs me off the road, starts hollering about his wife. I swear, I've never seen him before in my life.
And you didn't give his wife a ride?
No, sir.
He's lying.
The bald mustache sheriff peers through his sunglasses at the semi.
Sir, would it be all right with you if I search your truck?
Hell yes, go ahead. Name's Barr, by the way, Red Barr. All my permits are current. You can see them right
that
up
won't
in
be necessary. Yeah, just stand back behind the line, both of you.
Yeah. Jeff and Red wait in front of the truck as the sheriff opens the driver's side door. He takes a cautious look inside, then climbs into the cab. Jeff glances over his shoulder at the trucker, who stands casually. Inside the cab, the sheriff looks behind the seats at a messy cot. Magazines, a cooler, and a thermos litter the floor beside it, and a small TV set rests on the pillow. Red gets up on his tiptoes to watch the search. The sheriff takes another look around, then climbs out. He approaches the two drivers.
I need to see your license and registration, please.
Red and Jeff open their wallets and hand over their licenses. Later, Red unlocks a latch on the back of his trailer and pushes up the door. The sheriff removes his sunglasses and eyes a few small boxes that lie scattered in the otherwise empty trailer.
That was yours?
Yeah. My personal stuff. You want to take a look?
The sheriff shakes his head.
No, I think we're pretty much done here. You're free to go.
Wait, wait a second. That's it? You're not going to question him anymore?
Sir, I've searched the truck. There's no evidence of suspicious activity here. No sign of a struggle.
Look, I don't mean to butt in, but maybe you confused my truck with somebody else's.
You go to hell, you son of a...
Now hold on a second. You want to get arrested? Now, the man's got a point here. This is a very plain-looking truck. A lot of trucks look just like it. Now, maybe you did get them mixed up.
Jeff runs toward the cab.
Hey! You stay put.
The sheriff chases after him. Jeff opens the driver's side door and climbs inside. As he scans the cab, the sheriff watches from outside the door.
Mr. Taylor?
Jeff takes another look around, then plops down on the driver's seat. The sheriff motions toward himself. As Jeff climbs out, Red comes around the back of the trailer. Jeff points at him.
It was him. It was this truck.
I can see that. Did you get a license plate number on that truck?
What? No.
How about the information on that door panel? You recall any of that?
I wasn't paying attention. Come on, officer.
Mr. Taylor, did you, by any chance, have a beef with your wife today?
What has that got to do with anything?
Well, for starters, maybe. Is there a possibility she could have left you?
I don't believe this. My wife did not leave me.
Mr. Taylor, I've seen it 100 times. You put 2 people in a car long enough, they're going to go at it. Lovers, married couples, gay guys, hell, I've seen men dump their women on the side of the road and vice versa.
Officer, I'd really like to stay and help, but I got a long haul to Fresno.
I understand. Go ahead. Appreciate your cooperation.
This is insane. Officer, please.
I've got his information, all right? If I need to find him later, I know where to look.
The sheriff motions away from the truck.
Sir?
Jeff moves out of Red's way.
Much obliged.
And look, it's no hard feelings. I really do hope you find your wife.
The trucker climbs aboard.
Thanks.
As he swings the door shut, the sheriff crosses the highway.
Mr. Taylor, you want to come with me?
Red puts on his tinted glasses. Jeff walks alongside the semi as it pulls onto the highway and picks up speed. The cab passes Jeff by, followed by the hitch and trailer. Jeff's own pace quickens as the vehicle's rear set of tires rolls past his parked Cherokee. The sheriff retrieves a notepad from his cruiser.
Sir, I believe you that your wife's missing. All right, now maybe you got confused about what kind of truck she got into, and maybe you didn't. Point is, I'm trying to help. The town of Brackett's 31 miles back that way. My deputy's name is Lynn Carver. He's a good man. He'll help you fill out all the necessary forms if you want to report your wife missing.
Sheriff, this is dispatch.
Mr. Taylor, do yourself a favor.
The sheriff gets in his cruiser and shuts the door.
Go see my deputy.
He drives off, leaving Jeff in the middle of the road. The weary traveler watches the cruiser recede, then peers the other way after Red's long-departed semi. The now desolate highway stretches toward the horizon, disappearing among sagebrush and mountains. Wind rustles Jeff's shaggy brown hair. In bracket, Deputy Carver holds a wallet photo of Amy as he sips Coca-Cola.
Is this a recent picture?
Jeff views a bulletin board.
Yes, a couple months old. She still wear hair like this?
A plaque above the board reads missing persons.
Yeah.
Well, we'll certainly do our best, Mr. Taylor. You know, there's over 100,000 people go missing in this country every year. Runaways, deadbeat dads, dropouts, folks hiding from the IRS, all vanishing without a trace.
We get these kind of pictures all the time from all over the place.
I'm not saying that your wife is one of them. I sure hope not. But unless there's been a ransom demand or evidence of forced abduction, believe me, the FBI won't even look at your case until it's been 24 hours. Nevertheless, we will certainly keep our eyes peeled.
Jeff studies the bulletins. Posted one on top of another, they show mostly black and white images of faces and bear the wording, abducted and have you seen.
Mr. Taylor, why don't you go back to Bell's, get a cup of coffee, wait for your wife. If anything comes up, I'll contact you first thing. How's that sound?
Yeah.
Jeff grips his sunglasses and wallet tightly. Carver fills out paperwork. Now, in Bell's parking lot, Jeff exits his red Cherokee and marches into the diner. Behind the counter, the bartender sharpens a knife. Jeff takes a quick look around, then approaches him.
Did my wife come in?
Didn't see her.
You didn't see her, or she didn't come in?
Looked like I told you the last time. Maybe she was in, maybe she wasn't. All I'm saying is that I didn't see her.
As Jeff turns away, the bartender moves toward a cash register and sorts through order slips. A customer at the counter faces the frustrated traveler.
It ain't none of my business, mister. How's you? I checked the ladies' room.
The barfly turns back toward the counter, shares a sly smile with the patron next to him, then sips his beer. Jeff heads through a doorway and disappears around a corner. He forces the door open. Inside, the red-headed woman retches over a toilet.
I'll be right with you, cowboy.
Jeff closes the door and returns to the dining room. The patrons snicker. The barfly reaches into his shirt pocket. He tosses some cash out on the counter as the bartender drops an order slip in front of him. Jeff heads to the front screen door, then freezes. He scans the diner's booths and tables where rugged-looking men eat alone. Two men sit on either side of James at the counter while the bartender leafs through order slips. Staring intently, Jeff watches him shuffle the handwritten orders. The shaggy-haired out-of-towner yanks off his sunglasses and approaches the counter.
I want to see your order slips.
What?
You write down the names. I want to see them.
Are you nuts? I don't have to show you jack squat.
Jeff leans over the counter.
My wife came in here, and her name's in that pile.
The bartender throws down the order slips.
You calling me a liar?
Jeff grabs them from him.
Slips.
A patron looks over from a booth as Jeff frantically sorts through the slips. The bartender draws a pistol and cocks the hammer.
Mister, I had just about enough of you.
Jeff slowly backs away. He glances at a mustached, pockmarked guy with a receding hairline. The man eyes him blankly as he chews some food. Jeff trips over a chair, then flees out the screen door. As he races across the dirt parking lot, he passes a man in a cap washing a red T-top sports car. Jeff reaches the payphone and grabs the receiver. He unfolds a slip of paper.
Operator.
Operator, give me the sheriff's office.
One moment, please.
The man in the cap looks up.
Come on.
My name's Billy. You the fella looking for his wife?
Yes.
Jeff hangs up.
Yeah, how'd you know? Did you see her?
He runs over to the car.
You seen her? Please, if you know something, tell me.
Oh, I seen her, maybe.
Where? When?
Inside a little while ago. She came in on a truck.
Right.
A big semi.
Then what?
Well, then she left on another truck.
With who?
Oh. Some man. Well, they think I'm a dummy, but I ain't. I'm gonna get my trucker's license one day.
This is very important. Did you see where they took my wife?
Uh-huh. Route 7 North. Up by the river.
At the river? Where?
The bartender appears in the doorway of Bell's Diner. He holds his hand on his hip.
Oh, they don't tell me that kind of thing.
Who doesn't? The bartender? The men in the truck?
I ain't talking to you no more.
Wait a minute. You need to come with me to the police. If you tell them what you saw, they can help me.
Well, now you a dummy.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, don't you get it? Police is the ones in on it.
Billy walks off with his bucket of water. Later, Jeff's red Jeep Cherokee rockets down a desert highway. Inside, he half grips the steering wheel as he holds his bulky cell phone in one hand and flips through an address book with the other.
Come on, work, damn it.
Outside, the Cherokee navigates a tight curve in the road. Back inside, a sweaty-faced Jeff holds the phone to his ear.
Hello? Yeah, Steve, this is Jeffrey Taylor, you remember? Right. Don't put me on hold, please. Listen, I need a favor.
Sure.
I gotta talk to that friend of yours at the FBI. Right. Now, it's about Amy. Now, something's happened to Amy. Yeah, I think she's missing. I think she's...
He pulls the phone away and redials.
Yeah. Steve? Yeah. No, don't call me back. Don't, Steve. Steve!
He starts redialing.
Come on.
He reaches a gate blocking the road. Signs read caution and road closed ahead.
What?
He turns his car around. The dusty black pickup arrives and blocks his way. Jeff's mouth hangs agape as the mustached driver gets out and aims a rifle.
Get out of the car now!
Jeff shifts into reverse and plows through the fence gate. As the Cherokee's back tires settle into a ditch, Jeff quickly shifts into drive and floors it. The mustache cowboy hurries back into his pickup and races after him. A cloud of dust from the road separates the two vehicles as they race along a steep, unbarricaded hill. Jeff shoots nervous glances into his rearview mirror as he drives. The Cherokee tears through a wet ditch, splashing the windshield with muddy water. The black pickup follows at full speed. Jeff's car skids as it takes a sharp turn under a canopy of trees. The black pickup hugs the road, now inside the Cherokee.
What do you want?
His car skids over gravel, kicking up a dusty cloud. Construction vehicles block the road. Jeff makes a sharp right onto the shoulder and stops at a cliff overlooking a river. The black pickup bears down on him. Jeff pulls forward onto a steep slope. Coasting over loose rocks, he plunges into the river. The current carries the Cherokee downstream. Back atop the hill, the black pickup rolls to a stop and the cowboy climbs out. He watches the Cherokee drift out of view, then grabs a CB radio.
He's getting away!
On the river, water floods into the Cherokee from its open windows. Jeff looks around frantically. The cowboy rushes down the hill with his rifle and sees the Cherokee pass behind some thin trees below. Water splashes the dashboard. The cowboy makes his way across the loose rocks, touching the ground with his uphill hand for support. The Cherokee drifts, lopsided, toward a rocky shore. As the river bends, the Jeep shifts directions. It moves a few more feet downstream, then stops. Jeff sits in water up to his armpits. As he starts to climb out the driver's side window, the cowboy aims his rifle. Water splashes near the car and Jeff quickly climbs back inside. He He swims out the submerged passenger side window and surfaces a few feet away from the Cherokee. The cowboy aims his rifle again. Seeing a splash nearby, Jeff dives underwater. The cowboy gets closer as the current pulls Jeff downstream. The gunshot hits near the shore. Now, Jeff dog paddles around a bend to calmer waters. As the current picks up again, he floats on his back. Water roils near a boulder. The rapids suck Jeff in, spinning him onto his side, then his belly. He strains to keep his head above the white, foamy water. As the river smooths out again, he swims with the current. He quickly recedes into the distance. Back on the road, a white box truck parks, and the tubby, white-bearded man climbs out of the driver's seat. The cowboy makes his way back up the hill.
What the hell is going on?
Got away! Went down the river!
Elsewhere, Jeff swims to a rocky shore. He glances upstream. His gaze catches on the package of mini donuts as it drifts past. Its label reads, $90,000 or 90,000 donuts. Jeff gets to his feet and climbs away from the water. Meanwhile, a winch from the back of the white truck drags the Cherokee out of the river by its rear bumper. It rolls slowly up the loose rocks. Jeff spies on the activity from a crevice between two mossy boulders.
Yeah. Out now.
The bearded man holds a cell phone.
Gotta come loose. I got it.
The Cherokee's front tires roll up over the hill's edge.
It's what happens if you get one without the other.
Stop worrying.
How the hell are we gonna explain this to Walt?
Billy clubs Jeff with a shotgun. Now Billy looks at Jeff in his T-top's trunk.
Hey, you all right?
You are listening to Video Description on the SAP channel. To return to regular program audio, turn off the SAP feature on your TV or VCR. Billy splashes Jeff's face with beer.
Now, according to your wife, you got a good pile of cash sitting in your bank account at home. Is that true?
What? There's some, yeah.
Well, some just don't cut it. She gave us an exact dollar amount. Now, I want that same figure from you.
Sweat beads around a gash on Jeff's forehead.
I don't... There's different accounts. Balance fluctuates.
Fluctuates my ass. If some hotshot freak like you ain't watching his bottom line, it'd be the first time in history.
Billy glances at his friend, the mustached cowboy.
What do you think, girl?
What I think is we've been lied to. He ain't no damn donut king. The slut was lying to save her ass.
Piece of garbage.
Earl aims a gun.
$90,000!
Earl's face calms. Jeff cringes.
$90,000.
Earl lifts his gun from Jeff's face and steps to the side of the car. At the other fender, Billy quickly draws his pistol.
Now you crawl your ass out of there.
Jeff quickly straightens. As he scrambles out of the trunk, he stumbles on the bumper and falls on the rock-strewn clearing. He staggers to his feet, glances nervously at Earl and Billy, then walks toward a third figure standing with his back to him. The man turns around. It's Red. The truck driver meets the beat-up man's gaze.
You're a tough man to get a hold of, Jeffrey.
Jeff eyes him warily.
It's not what I want. It's what you want. How bad you want it, because it is going to cost you. Can't show it to you right now. But it's about 5'5", 115 pounds, curly brown hair. Interested?
Why? This... Why us?
Bring him up here.
Behind them, Earl aims a sawed-off shotgun and Billy holds a pistol at Jeff's other side. They walk to a cliff's rocky edge and Red points down toward the flat desert.
Town of Brackett, Jeff. Two-bit gopher hole in the middle of nowhere. See the bank down there?
Jeff peers at the little town and nods.
A few minutes, you're going to walk in, tell the manager you want an express wire in the amount of $90,000 from your bank account in Boston. Cash.
Jeff stares and shifts uneasily on his feet.
How do I know she's still alive?
Earl slams the shotgun barrel into Jeff's back, knocking him to his knees. Red hands him binoculars.
Come on, Jeff. Need you to pay attention.
Jeff reaches up and takes the binoculars. Red points toward Brackett.
Now, you see that building with the flagpole coming out the top of it?
Jeff peers through the binoculars.
Yeah.
That's a sheriff's station. There's exactly two cops in this town. One of them's pulling desk duty right now. The other one's on patrol in the foothills. About a minute ago, Billy here called in an accident on the I-40 connector.
Jeff gets to his feet.
See? There he goes.
Through the binoculars, Jeff spots a squad car.
It's going to take about 20 minutes for that cracker to get out to the connector, another 10 minutes to see there's no accident, another 20 minutes to get back in. That's 50 minutes. That is exactly the amount of time you have to get me my money.
As Red moves closer to his captive, Jeff backs up slightly.
Now, before you get any half-baked ideas about calling in the cavalry, just remember we're going to be watching you every step of the way, and we're going to be listening on those scanners. And if we see anything unusual, an unmarked car, a plane, one human being who even smells like a cop, well, you can just keep your money, Jeff. And I'll send you pieces of her from time to time.
Red gazes into the ragged man's eyes.
Billy, give him a jacket.
Billy tosses Jeff a worn beige barn coat.
Well, go on, put it on, Jeff. Can't go into a bank looking like that now, can you?
Jeff glances at Earl and Billy, then at Red.
We don't have to do this because I can get you that money, I swear to God. Promise you, just let my wife go, please.
49 minutes, Jeff. Time to get the show on the road.
The two men stare at each other, then Jeff swallows nervously and heads off. Red watches him go, then turns toward his henchmen. Now in Brackett, Jeff runs across a gas station lot to the highway winding through the town's main street. He glances down the road past a bicycle shop. At a nearby intersection, a few cars pass by. Jeff dashes up the sidewalk, glancing worriedly behind him. He passes shops and a Mexican restaurant and stops at a clapboard facade bearing an initialed sign, BCB. A sign overhead reads, Brackett Community Bank. Jeff slowly approaches the door, then stops as a pickup drives by. He watches nervously as it passes, then goes inside. Later, he sits at a bank officer's desk, facing a thin, balding man.
Here's my driver's license, credit card if you need it. Account number for my bank in Boston. How long is this going to take?
Are you, all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Like, I've only got $5,000 in that account. How much can you advance me on my credit card?
Excuse me?
Credit card. It's got a $6,000 limit. Can you advance me the whole $6,000?
No, I can't. The limit for non-customers is $500 a day.
Behind him, men line up at teller windows.
Sir, are you sure you're all right?
Jeff stares at the banker.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Jeff gives a casual wave of his hand.
Transfer the money, okay?
The banker picks up a pen and copies information from Jeff's cards. Okay. Jeff eyes the notepad, then glances furtively around the bank. Behind him, the local men in work clothes face female tellers in light blouses. Jeff peers nervously at the man across the desk.
I'm going to tell you something.
The banker looks up warily.
I'm about to tell you.
Jeff lowers his gaze.
You can't call anyone, do you understand?
The banker gives a nod.
Yes?
Jeff eyes him intently.
Whatever happens,
he glances at the locals.
Just keep writing on that pad. Please, now, just keep writing.
The banker complies. A man in a leather jacket faces a teller.
They're probably watching me right now. They've got police scanners and the whole town's under surveillance.
The banker stares at the beat-up stranger.
If I don't walk out of here...
The leather-clad man approaches.
Excuse me. You the manager?
Yes, I am.
The lady back there said I should see you by the car loan.
Certainly. If you would just take a seat.
The manager thumbs toward a row of chairs. Jeff cautiously watches the man compliantly take a seat. The bank manager gazes at Jeff suspiciously. He leans forward attentively.
Yes?
Jeff glances toward the waiting area. The man in leather picks up a magazine. Jeff glances nervously at the other bank patrons.
Just forget. I had a car accident. Minor. Nah, I'm just kind of. How long is this gonna take?
Well, it's going to take a few minutes.
The manager tears Jeff's info off the notepad and gets up. Jeff glances at the man in leather and spots him looking back. Now, behind a gridded partition, the manager uses a phone.
Yeah, I am calling regarding account number 9825.
Jeff glances behind him toward the bank manager.
Jeffrey Taylor?
The manager briefly studies Jeff.
Uh-huh.
Jeff glances back at the man in leather. Gripping his open wallet, Jeff stands and crosses to a restroom. He enters and peeks toward the main room as he closes the door behind him. Jeff leans against it and breathes deeply. He looks around the restroom, fixing his gaze on a storage cabinet. He slings open the doors and scans rows of toilet paper, a few boxes of light bulbs, and assorted cleaning supplies. He closes the doors and picks up a plunger. Jeff unscrews the rubber suction cup and chucks it aside. He tests the sturdiness of its wooden handle, then tries to hide it in his jacket sleeve. He angrily removes the unwieldy handle and slams it against the palm of his hand. Grimacing, he puts it aside and checks his watch. He turns in a circle, scanning the restroom walls, then quickly opens the door. Jeff gazes across the empty space toward the bank manager's lattice cage. The manager meets his gaze. As Jeff returns to the chair at the desk, the man in leather looks up from his magazine and watches him. Jeff sits, and the manager lowers his focus to his work. As another local nods to a friend and leaves, Jeff looks around. He glances furtively at the manager, then toward the waiting area, then fixes his gaze on the desktop. He eyes a slender stainless steel letter opener, his face damp with perspiration. He again checks the manager, who peers at his paperwork. The man waiting for a car loan appears engrossed in the magazine. Jeff quickly stashes the letter opener up his sleeve. He then slides the manager's nameplate aside and scoops up four stacks of numbered currency wrappers. He unobtrusively shoves them into one of the jacket's pockets and leans back in his chair. Later, he exits the bank with a cloth money pouch under his arm. He gazes out at the quiet town. Jeff's gaze fixes to his left, and he heads off in that direction. He quickens his pace toward a phone booth. He glances behind him and trots to the ringing phone. Jeff glances around and steps into the booth. He picks up the receiver.
It's me.
Yeah, no kidding, I can see that. How much you got?
Jeff glances up and down the deserted sidewalk.
The whole thing, 90,000.
That's good. Now I want you to turn left, start walking toward the main road, and get in the first car that stops. You got that?
When do I see my wife?
Soon enough, Jeff. Just start walking.
Jeff eyes the surrounding buildings. Later, on the highway, he walks toward a train crossing. Jeff carries his money pouch toward the tracks. As the last of a freight train passes, red warning lights stop flashing and a guardrail lifts. Jeff looks back along the two-lane highway as he tramps on toward the tracks. A semi rolls past him and Jeff stops by the side of the road. The truck continues toward mountains on the desert horizon. Jeff stands, waiting by the tracks, alone. Now, just outside of Brackett, the black pickup, caked with mud, slows down. It pulls to a stop some 10 yards ahead of Jeff. The passenger side door swings open. Jeff shifts his weight from foot to foot and eyes the truck warily. Taking tentative steps, he approaches the open door. Earl peers out at him from the driver's seat.
Just throw the money right up here on this seat.
No. First you tell me where she is.
Wrong hotshot. First you give me the money and then you find out.
Earl aims a pistol.
Unless you want me just to shoot you cold dead right here on the side of the highway.
Earl's gun hand lies inconspicuously on the seat and his other arm rests on the steering wheel. Jeff fidgets with the pouch, eyeing the gunman and glancing at the road. Earl leans toward him and Jeff hands over the pouch. Earl opens it and peers at its contents.
Turn around.
Jeff stands motionless.
Do it!
Earl levels the gun on him and Jeff slowly faces away from the pickup. Earl glances up and down the highway.
Put your hands behind you.
Jeff complies.
Step toward the truck.
As Jeff steps backward, Earl grabs his arms and yanks his hands into the cab. He roughly binds Jeff's wrists with several layers of duct tape. Jeff remains calm and tight-lipped.
Now get up in the truck. On your knees.
Jeff turns awkwardly.
Get in here, damn it.
Earl grabs the shoulder of Jeff's coat, forces him face down on the passenger seat, and shuts the door. The pickup rolls off, the only vehicle in sight on the flat expanse. Earl grips the steering wheel and smiles slightly as he peers out the windshield. Jeff cranes to look up at him.
I gave you the money, now let her go. The hell do I...
Earl slams his fist into Jeff's face and continues driving. He reaches above the visor for a phone.
Yeah, it's a done deal. I'm heading in.
Jeff fingers his sock.
Yeah, I got you.
Earl hangs up. Keeping an eye on the driver, Jeff squirms and strains at the slender bulge in his sock.
You gotta be the dumbest one we got yet.
Jeff slides out the letter opener.
Think we just picked you out of the clear blue, shiny new car, Massachusetts plates. Ought to be a week before anybody misses you.
Jeff drops the letter opener, then fumbles to find it.
It goes with that car. Rich city slickers, looking for trouble.
Jeff's bound hands pick up the letter opener, unnoticed by Earl, who grins. Jeff's shoulders move slightly as he struggles to cut the duct tape.
Sure wish I'd been there. See the look on your face when your car seized up on you. Maybe next time you'll learn, don't leave your hood open when you go in the store.
As Jeff cuts at the duct tape behind his back, Earl gives him a derisive look and removes a stack of bills from the pouch. He holds the wad close to his handlebar mustache and flips the bills. He checks them closely. The stack has a $100 bill on top. The rest are ones.
What the hell is that?
Earl grabs another stack. Jeff saws frantically at the tape.
These ain't nothing but damn signals.
The letter opener slices through the tape and Jeff lunges. He sinks the blade into Earl's shoulder and stomps his foot down on the driver's accelerator foot. As the pickup weaves, Jeff wrestles Earl for the gun and keeps pressure on the gas pedal. The pickup drifts on and off the road. Earl's free arm grips the wheel. As the men struggle, the pickup nearly goes over an embankment. Earl lets go of the gun and slings Jeff off of him. As Earl pulls the letter opener from his bleeding shoulder, Jeff pistol whips him. The pickup rolls to a stop. Jeff binds Earl's wrists together, then wraps more tape around the man's knees, securing his bound wrists between them. He glances down the road at an approaching vehicle. Jeff tapes Earl's neck tightly to the passenger side headrest. The approaching vehicle, a tow truck, stops. As the driver gets out, Jeff starts the engine.
Hey, what are you doing in there?
Jeff puts the pickup in gear and drives past the tow truck driver. Hey. Earl shuts his eyes, his face streaked with blood.
Where is she?
Forget her.
No, forget you!
Jeff elbows Earl.
You like that? How about this?
He slams on the brakes, throwing Earl forward.
Where is she?
I don't know.
Bet you don't know.
Jeff hits the brakes again. Earl grimaces as the tape chokes him.
Stop. Stop.
What's that? You want me to stop? You really want me to stop? Because I'll bet this baby stops on a friggin' dime.
Jeff slams on the brakes, thrusting Earl's throat against the duct tape. In his squad car, the bracket sheriff spots the pickup weaving recklessly toward him on the highway.
What the hell?
Jeff speeds past. The sheriff spins into a sharp U-turn and goes into pursuit.
Where is she?
She's right there.
Where?
I don't know, man. Driving around.
Jeff slams on the brakes again.
I'm in pursuit of a black Ford F-150 pickup truck. Contact the state police. We're headed northbound, Highway 31. I need backup. Repeat, backup.
With Jeff.
Where are you taking the money?
To the truck stop.
Where exactly? Where?
On the main highway to Mexico.
As the cruiser's lights flash, the truck pulls over. The sheriff draws his gun as Jeff gets out.
Officer! Officer, you gotta help me. My wife's been kidnapped.
Drop the gun!
Whoa, wait! You got it!
Jeff throws the gun.
I know where she is.
Get down on the ground! Do it!
All right, I'm down. Listen to me. He's in on it.
In the passenger seat, Earl frees his hands.
There's four of them. They all work together. They got it right now at a truck stop, the Texas.
Face down! Shut up! You're in the pickup, you all right?
Earl snaps the tape off his legs.
You hear me? Yes, I'm okay.
Now put your gun down. Help me, damn
yes, I can, so please don't shoot me.
Earl slips a derringer from his boot.
I swear to God, it's right in there.
Face down, Spread Eagle, and shut up!
Earl yanks his head free.
We have to
get out, damn it! Stop.
Come on, damn it, listen to what I'm telling you!
Shut the hell up!
As Earl shoots the sheriff's shoulder, Jeff jumps to his feet and runs down the embankment. He staggers, spots his gun against a rock, and reaches for it. Earl aims at him.
Hey, where you think you're going?
Earl falls. On the highway centerline, the wounded sheriff writhes painfully and relaxes his shooting arm. At the bottom of the embankment, Jeff grabs the thrown-away gun. He gazes up at the road, then checks over his shoulder. On the highway, the sheriff fumbles at his collar for his radio. Jeff climbs into view, his gun trained on Earl's limp body.
Shots fired.
Jeff checks out Earl's body.
Officer down.
He brushes the derringer aside and approaches the sheriff.
Suspect identified.
Jeff takes the sheriff's radio.
Sheriff, this is State Police Dispatch. What is your 20?
Blood soaks the sheriff's uniform.
Get an ambulance. He's been shot.
Who is it? Sheriff, can you respond?
They're coming.
The sheriff watches Jeff get into the pickup. His eyes close as it drives off.
Jeff, hang on. We're getting you an ambulance.
The sheriff lies writhing on his side.
All units. All units. Officer down. Officer down.
Now, in the middle of the desert, scores of semis sit parked in the lot of a truck stop. Jogging between two, Jeff glances around, scanning the rigs and drivers. Jeff continues along a row of trucks, glancing at their decals. He looks toward the highway and stops in his tracks. A highway patrol car sits on the shoulder. Beside it, an officer peers toward the lot through binoculars. Jeff runs. He races between two 18-wheelers, stopping to look around by one's huge fender. Another patrol car cruises across the lot. Jeff peers toward a rig's cabin, then turns. He watches a driver's back as the trucker gets out of his black semi. The man wears a denim jacket and billed cap. It's a stranger with a goatee. Now a highway patrol car parks nearby and another circles around. Jeff dashes toward the gas pumps. As he approaches a building, he spots another man wearing a denim jacket and billed cap using a telephone booth. Jeff freezes and stares.
I don't know, damn it. He was supposed to be here a half an hour ago.
Jeff ducks around a corner.
And I heard a report on the police band about a cop down
there. He gets out the gun.
I'm leaving. I can't. There's too much heat around here. So, stay off the airwaves. Get his wife and meet me at the barn. I don't care if we have to drive all night.
As Red leaves the phone booth, Jeff hangs back. He tucks the pistol into the waist of his pants and watches Red stride off. Jeff then hustles across the busy lot, ducking past several parked rigs. As a state trooper directs truck stop visitors, Red pulls out in his semi. Jeff takes cover under a trailer. As he watches Red's semi leaving, the trailer moves. Jeff scrambles clear of the rolling tires. As Red's truck picks up speed, Jeff sprints after it. He grits his teeth. His legs and fists cycle hard as he catches up and runs alongside the moving trailer. He reaches for an empty spare tire bracket mounted on the trailer's underside. Jeff heaves himself into the T-shaped holder. Lying on the suspended bars, he grips the trailer's underside. As the semi accelerates, Red and the stowaway leave the truck stop behind. In the cab, Red lights a cigarette. Now on the open road, Jeff clings to the metalwork, his back several feet above the pavement. A gold sedan passes the semi. Sunlight gleams on the rear passenger window, where a curly-haired boy presses his hand to the glass. Jeff and the youngster briefly make eye contact, then the car pulls ahead. As the wind whips through Jeff's hair, he eyes the distance separating him from the cab. As he moves hand over hand, gripping the frame, his feet drop. His boots graze the road, and Jeff quickly kicks his feet back up. In the cab, Red pitches a spent cigarette out the window. Back under the trailer, Jeff works his hands and feet from bar to bar. He strains as he advances horizontally toward the cab's spinning tires. Passing between two retracted legs at the trailer's hitchable end, Jeff nears the wheel's mud flaps. The pistol tucked into his pants falls out. Jeff grits his teeth, staring after the lost gun. Now, reaching out from under the trailer, Jeff's hand grips a foot rail below the trailer's side door. Swinging his torso out, he peers up at the padlocked handle and takes hold of it with his left hand. Wind whips through his hair as he manages a handhold with his right. He notices the cab's passenger side view mirror. In the cab, Red glances at it. His view is empty. Now Jeff climbs out from underneath. His feet brace on the mudflap assembly and one of the retracted trailer legs. His hands grip the door fixtures. Now Jeff pulls himself flat to the side of the trailer and reaches out. He lunges for the rung of a side-mounted ladder. As he grabs the rung, his foot slips off a narrow sill along the trailer's base. He recovers. At the front, Red frowns plainly over his steering wheel. A Virgin Mary figurine decorates his dashboard. Outside, Jeff makes it to the ladder. Looking into the wind, he reaches around the trailer's front corner. His gaze rose from the side view mirror, just feet away from him, to a graded service platform located directly behind the cab. Jeff's outstretched arms steady him between the trailer and the cab. With a quick step, he lands on the platform and sits down. At sunset, the truck barrels down the desert road. Nighttime, Red's semi pulls up a dirt drive toward a well-lit barn and farmhouse. A 7-year-old boy scampers down the porch steps and runs to the semi. A woman in a green bathrobe follows.
Daddy, home!
Hey, Jake,
listen. Yeah.
Jake, get back to bed.
Warren, I thought you were coming back next week.
Yeah, well, I finished early, and now I'm home. Al and Billy are coming over a little while, too.
But it's 6 in the morning.
Jeff hides under the cab's hard rooftop canopy.
We've got some stuff to do, okay? It's going to take a couple of hours. Why don't you go in and make breakfast? Hey, Deke.
Yeah?
Want to open the barn for your dad?
Okay.
Deke catches the keys and runs toward the barn. Jeff keeps still under the aerodynamic canopy. As the truck parks alongside the barn, Deke slides open the barn's wide, hanging double doors. Red climbs down from the cab and swings the door shut. As he opens a rear door in the cab, Deke runs over with the keys.
Hey, Deke. Hey, thanks. Hey, I got something for you.
Ready?
He takes out a Swiss Army knife.
Here you go, son. Look at that.
Cool.
Cool. Real Swiss Army knife.
Deke takes it and runs off.
Good boy.
Red shuts the cab door and shuffles away. Jeff watches from under the canopy as the trucker heads around the back of the trailer. Red opens a padlock, slides the door open, and takes some of the tailor's suitcases into the barn. The truck sits parked along the edge of the barn's slanted roof. Jeff sneaks out from the canopy and climbs on top of the cab. As Red comes back for more suitcases, the stowaway jumps onto the barn's roof. Jeff hugs the roof.
Dink, you back there?
Red peers out from around the back of the trailer. Jeff's mouth hangs open, and his eyes shift nervously. As Red grabs two more suitcases and heads for the barn, the stowaway creeps along on the roof to a boarded-up loft window. He pries one side of a board loose. Meanwhile, Red comes back out of the barn. He returns to the truck. Inside the barn, a casement window swings inward, and Jeff sets foot on the loft, which is full of large cardboard boxes. He shuts the window and looks around. License plates from different states lie scattered on the floor. Long slivers of light filter through gaps between the floorboards onto the stacks of overflowing boxes. Jeff passes one on a table. It contains cameras and accessories. Others hold clothing. Jeff sneaks toward a dark corner. Outside, the tubby gang member's white box truck follows the driveway leading Billy's red sports car. The side of the truck reads, Countrywide. At the barn, Red carries a leather suitcase and opens the barn doors all the way. Jeff watches from the loft. He reaches behind a box and pulls out a baseball bat. The Countrywide truck rolls into the barn. Gritting his teeth, Jeff moves around to a better vantage point and crouches behind two boxes. As the sports car pulls in behind the truck, Red closes the barn doors. Billy and the tubby gang member, Al, get out of their vehicles.
I've never seen another couple from Massachusetts. It'll be too soon.
Yeah, okay. We got a lot of work to do. First off, you got any word on Earl?
Not a thing.
Me neither.
Shoot. Okay, we got to get the stuff off the truck. Now, anything
that can trace us back to that fruit, we get rid of.
Anything, Billy. You got that?
As Red walks off, Billy looks at Al and shrugs. Jeff sneaks across the loft.
You know, none of this would have happened if he'd gotten that jerk at the same time as his wife.
Wouldn't get in the truck. I suppose you just pick up a gun, chase him out into the desert.
Stupid idiot. Look, I'm just saying. You should have gotten rid of him just like that couple in Ohio, nice and clean.
So we stay out of the area for a couple of months. Big deal.
He and Billy unload the truck.
Al!
Yeah. Come on.
Red and Billy open a flap on the side of the truck, then slide out a shelf. A lumpy sack lies on top.
All right, honey. Time to get up.
Let's go! Come on,
move it.
Get up!
As they pat the sack, Jeff trembles.
Dead? Must have died from the exhaust, huh? Suicide! Couldn't be any cleaner than that now, could you?
Jeff's eyes well with tears.
Get that plastic, man. We'll bury her out back before sunup. All right, come on, let's go.
As Red and Al pick up the hefty sack, Jeff beats the tip of the bat against a box's corner. The sack jolts and the two criminals drop it.
What are you doing, Red? I'll cut her head off right now.
It's my wife, come on. Cover up quick. Put her in the freezer.
Lauren?
Be right there, Arlene.
Jeff crosses the loft, following their progress. Red moves ahead of Al and Billy, who carry the sack around the back of the truck. Jeff leans over a knothole and watches the ringleader pull aside a carpet on the dirty floor. Underneath is a trap door.
She's like wasting an inch.
As they drop the sack, Amy's face appears through an opening.
That's right, lady. You just keep it up.
With duct tape covering her mouth, she sees her husband's teary eye looking down on her from the peephole.
Come on, baby. Not as bad as it sounds.
It'll take you about 10 minutes to suck all that air out. Probably won't even feel it.
Billy and Al carry the sack down to a cellar. Red peers over the edge, watching them. Jeff watches him from above.
Come on, fellas, come on.
Al and Billy climb back out. Red closes the trap door. He locks it with a deadbolt, then joins the others. In the loft, Jeff shakes as he moves to another vantage point. Below, Billy undoes a latch on the barn doors and opens them. Arlene waits outside.
Wow. Hey,
Tennessee.
Finally! Are you coming to breakfast? I've been calling you.
Yeah, we sure give you some of them pancakes.
Billy and Al walk off with Arlene. Red shuts off the lights, exits, and closes the doors. Now, still gripping the baseball bat, Jeff climbs down from the loft on a ladder. Later, he turns on a flashlight and shines it over a messy work table. He picks up a hammer and a crowbar. Now, he pries at the trapdoor latch with the hammer's claws. The tool breaks. Jeff tries again with the crowbar. His face grimaces as he pries upward. The latch bends, but remains intact. Jeff turns off the flashlight and runs to the countrywide truck. He grabs the CB microphone and flips several dials. The radio box stays dark. His hand moves to the ignition. The key is gone. Jeff opens the glove box and digs through packets and booklets. He finds a gun. He takes out the clip, checks it, then loads it back in. He gets out of the truck and shuts the door. Later, outside, he crouches between the semi and the barn, then races toward the house. Dim light illuminates the sky. Jeff enters the house, aiming the gun out in front of him. He holds his ear to a closed door, then continues down a hall decorated with floral wallpaper. In an adjacent room, a blue fluorescent light shines over a fish tank. Jeff cautiously turns a corner around a grandfather clock and creeps ahead. He sidles under a wall sconce and some framed artwork. To the left, a lamp shines over an empty living room sofa. Jeff waves Al's gun into a dark room on the right. Jeff whips around. He sees a table covered with sewing materials. He proceeds into the living room, gun poised. He moves toward another room. The door hangs open a crack. Inside a bedroom, the video game Doom plays on TV. Jeff's head jerks toward a closed door nearby. He moves past the bedroom to a corner between the two doors and slowly pushes the closed one open. On the other side, Red and his wife sit at a kitchen table with Al and Billy. With his back to the door, Red remains oblivious to Jeff creeping into the kitchen. Billy and Arlene stare fearfully at Jeff. Red slowly turns and faces the aimed gun.
Give me the key.
Red slowly lifts his hands.
Mister.
Don't mister me, you son of a bitch. My wife is locked up in a hole in your friggin' barn. And if you don't give me the key, I'm gonna blow your friggin' head off!
Warren, what's going on?
I don't know, honey. Just stay calm.
Your husband's a murderer and a kidnapper is what's going on. Now give me the friggin' key!
Freeze, mister.
Jeff's eyes shift to the young boy behind him. Deke aims a rifle.
You don't want to do that, kid. Put the gun down.
Don't listen to him, Deke. You just keep that gun right on him.
Jeff trembles.
My daddy keeps his rifle loaded all the time. He showed me in case I need to protect Mommy when he's away.
I understand that, and I'm not going to hurt your mom.
He's lying, Deke. Now go on, son. Squeeze that trigger. Go on.
Don't listen to him, kid.
Go on, Deke.
Don't listen to him. He's wrong.
Do what I tell you to do. Squeeze that trigger now. Come on.
Put it down, Deke. Nothing's going to happen.
As Deke cries, Arlene sneers.
Do it!
Jeff knocks the rifle. Its shot hits Al's arm. As Billy escapes, Jeff aims at Red.
Don't move!
He picks up the rifle.
Nobody move! Get out of here, kid! Get up! Get by your mom!
Deke runs over to his mother. Jeff points the pistol at Red.
Get over there! Get over there!
He looks out a window and spots Billy running away. Jeff faces Red.
All right. Everybody, stick together and get out that door. Right now. Move it. Go. Get out of here. Move it.
Come on, honey,
let's go. Turn around. Turn around.
Now in the barn, Red's wife struggles on the floor with the key in the padlock.
Open it.
As Al touches his blood-soaked shoulder, Red leans against a post with his arms behind his back. With a slight smirk, he glares at Jeff. On the floor, Red's wife opens the cellar door. Jeff points into the dark space.
Get down here. Open that freezer up.
She heads down the stairs.
Warren, what is this?
Just pull the chain, Arlene.
Arlene pulls a thin chain and a hanging lamp illuminates the space. Shaking, she faces a rusting freezer.
Open it!
She glances back at Jeff, then descends and works on the latch. Jeff eyes red over the pistol.
You better pray she's alive.
Below, Arlene unfastens the box and opens it. Amy sits, slouched inside.
Amy.
She looks up at him. Red and Jeff exchange a glare.
You made it, baby. Come on.
Amy pushes Arlene away. She lifts herself out.
Come on, honey. Come on up.
Amy races up the steps into the arms of her husband. As he hugs her, Jeff continues to aim his gun.
Red, you son of a bitch. Get down there. All of you, get down there.
Red slowly trails behind the others and descends into the cellar. Heading down, he looks at Jeff.
You better remember this, fella. Because no matter where you go, how...
Jeff kicks him in the face. As Red falls down and hits his head on the hanging lamp, Jeff slams the door shut, knocks a heavy metal tool cabinet on top of it, and seals the padlock. Amy rushes over and hugs him.
It's all right. It's all right. Now listen to me. Amy, listen to me. Honey, listen to me. There's one more still out there. You understand?
He searches around the barn.
And we have to get out of here fast.
Inside the house, Billy grabs a rifle from a rack on the wall. Back in the barn, Jeff leads Amy to Billy's T-top. He quickly gets inside and checks for the keys above the sun visor and in a dashboard compartment. Meanwhile, Billy loads the rifle. Now, Jeff and Amy stand at the edge of the barn door and peer outside. Down the dirt drive, Jeff spots a blue and white trailer and a yellow pickup.
You make it to that pickup truck.
Trembling, Amy grips her husband's shirt, then nods.
Come on.
With his arm around her, Jeff races out of the barn. As she runs before him, Jeff keeps a watchful eye behind and aims a gun. Now, Billy charges out of the house with a shotgun and leaps down the front stairs. Spotting the fleeing couple, he presses on. Jeff and Amy reach the yellow pickup. Jeff opens the driver's side door and feels for the keys. The ignition's empty.
Okay, come on.
As Billy shoves the tool cabinet off the cellar door in the barn, Jeff uses the rifle butt to break the window on the trailer door. Reaching through the broken glass, Jeff turns the knob and enters with his wife.
We gotta find those keys.
As he opens a drawer and rustles through some maps, Amy pulls cigar boxes off a shelf and empties them.
Oh, well, my name is Jeffrey Taylor. This is an emergency. Listen to me, I need the police. Someone's trying to kill me and my wife. Do you understand? I don't know the address. We're on a farm.
Amy digs through another drawer.
Just start tracing this call right now.
Amy grabs a set of keys.
Got him!
Outside, Red drives his rig straight toward them. Amy looks out the window.
Yeah! Get away!
As Jeff shoves her toward an end, the semi drives through the middle. From inside the severed trailer, the Taylor spot the semi doubling back.
Come on!
Jeff helps Amy to her feet and they rush outside.
Give me the key!
He opens the door to the pickup and they get in. As Jeff searches for the correct key, Amy looks out his window. Clouds of dirt trail behind the semi as Red speeds toward them.
Come on!
Jeff turns the key, puts the truck in gear, and slams the gas pedal. The pickup quickly swerves out of the semi's path. As Amy covers her crying eyes, Jeff drives toward the main road. Still holding a gun, he twists onto the highway and looks back. The pickup charges down the empty highway. A bullet shatters the passenger window. Billy speeds beside them in his T-top, aiming the rifle.
Are you all right?
As Billy pulls up beside them and aims at Amy, Jeff swerves the pickup into the sports car. Billy gains control and Jeff hits him again. Now, Al sideswipes Jeff from the other side. Al rams his rusty sedan into them. As Billy and Al strike the pickup at the same time, Jeff aims his gun at Al and shoots. Bullets pierce the side of the sedan. On the other side, Billy aims his rifle at Amy. Jeff slams on the brakes and the other vehicles zoom past him. From behind, Red's rig crashes into the pickup. In the semi, Red grits his teeth, shifts gears, and rear-ends the truck again. As Amy looks outside, Billy reloads.
Hang on!
Jeff slams into the sports car. Billy loses control and swerves side-on in front of the pickup. The T-top flips and grinds across the road on its roof. It explodes. Black smoke rises from the wreck. With the semi closing in, Jeff speeds on. Beside him in the opposing traffic lane, Al brakes hard to avoid two oncoming cars. Now Red hits his brakes. The semi's trailer swings out behind the cab. The trailer twists off the cab and skids across the freeway. As smoke clouds the road, Al crashes through the trailer and rolls onto his roof. Now, as Jeff drives and holds his gun ready, he and Amy look back. In the semi's cab, Red shifts gears and rams the pickup. Jeff glares in his rearview mirror, then turns and points the gun. Two shots ricochet off the bumper.
I'm out!
With a determined stare, Red speeds up and rear-ends the pickup again. Now, the vehicles approach a narrow bridge stretching over a deep valley. As Jeff takes a sharp right onto the bridge, Red follows only feet behind. The pickup swerves side-on in front of the rig. Red rams into the passenger side of the truck and pushes them across the bridge toward an outer railing. As Jeff frantically tries to control the pickup, Red accelerates and shoves them hard against the railing. The metal guardrail snaps and the front wheel on the driver's side dips over the edge. As Amy clings to him, Jeff presses hard against his door, but it won't open. Red reverses, then charges into them again. On the other side, the broken guardrail crunches the driver's side door inward. Inside, the dashboard pinches down on Amy's legs. As he starts to climb through the window, Jeff sees his wife is trapped and slides back in. He wrestles to pry her legs free. Red rams them again. Jeff quickly climbs out of the window and hoists himself on top of the bed of the truck. He jumps down, races to the semi, and opens the passenger door. Inside the cab, Red switches gears. Jeff leaps in and grabs the steering wheel. As Red struggles with him, the semi turns toward the railing and drives over the hood of the pickup. Its massive wheels crush the already dented hood and miss Amy. The semi clears the railing and goes over. A wheel axle catches on a shorn-off railing strut. The cab dangles from the bridge. Jeff crashes through the windshield and hangs from the vertical rig. As Jeff dangles from the semi, the rail strut holding it bends. Jeff dangles 15 stories over a shallow river. Inside, Red climbs back into the bunk portion of the cab. Papers fall from the truck past Jeff, who reaches for a windshield wiper and climbs higher. On the bridge, the concrete loosens around the strut's bolts. Jeff's facial muscles clench. Now, Red opens a side door and, climbing out, grips a wind panel. The panel snaps off and falls. As Red continues to climb, the rig settles further and jounces the pickup truck. Struggling, Jeff swings his arm onto a side view mirror and scales the hood of the semi. Above him, Red hoists himself onto the cab's now horizontal backside. As Jeff pulls on Red's ankle, the trucker grabs a chain on a handrail and pulls himself onto the flat surface. Jeff climbs over the trucker and punches him in the face. As Jeff lifts Red and hits him again, Red kicks him hard. Jeff flies over the edge and hangs from the side of the semi. Red detaches the chain, wraps it around his wrist, and stands up. He approaches the edge and whips the chain at Jeff's dangling body. As he swipes at him again, Jeff catches the end of the chain. The links tighten on Red's wrist and his eyes widen. Glaring, Jeff pulls hard and Red plunges to the river below. Jeff stares. On the rocks, half in the water, Red lies on his back, motionless. Now the semi and pickup jerk. Jeff scales the side of the cab and hoists himself onto the bridge. Inside the pickup, Amy's eyes soften as she spots her husband. He descends from the semi, rushes over to her, and checks her bloody leg.
Don't move! Don't move!
Jeff races around the pickup, examines its proximity to the edge, and eases open the driver's side door. Using the steering wheel for support, he slides in next to her.
Come here. Come on, come on.
Amy leans in close to Jeff. He wraps his arm around her shoulder. As the vehicles shift again, Jeff slides out of the pickup and pulls on his wife. As he tugs harder, Amy's bloody jeans tear loose from the metal. She topples out of the pickup and the couple lands together on the bridge. As tears rush down her face, Amy embraces Jeff. He gently cradles her head, looks into her eyes, and draws her close to his chest. They sit up and lock gazes. With smiles and tears, they hold each other tightly. As they sit, hugging, Jeff stares beyond the bridge. He inches toward the edge and rises to his knees. Gripping the guardrail, he hoists himself to his feet. As the wind rustles through his hair, Amy stands beside her husband, and they both peer over the edge. Below, Red's body lies still on the rocks. Jeff watches intently, then knits his brow. Red turns his head. Reaching into the pickup, Amy shifts the stick. The pickup lurches, and the bridge strut gives. The semi plummets toward Red. The rig buckles nose first into the riverbed, splashing water in every direction. It then tips. The cab rights itself onto its tires. On the bridge, Jeff takes deep breaths. Amy clings to him with her head to his chest. Jeff embraces her and glances at the wreck. With their arms around each other, the couple settles to the pavement. As the bright sun gleams on their sweaty faces, Amy and Jeff huddle. Our view gradually pulls away.